Talk number 26. Devotee, how shall we discover the nature of the mind, that is, its ultimate cause, or the noumenon of which it is a manifestation? Maharshi, arranging thoughts in the order of value, the I thought is the all-important thought. Personality, idea, or thought is also the root or the stem of all other thoughts, since each idea or thought arises only as someone's thought and is not known to exist independently of the ego. The ego, therefore, exhibits thought activity. The second and the third persons do not appear except to the first person. Therefore, they arise only after the first person appears. So all the three persons seem to rise and sink together. Trace, then, the ultimate cause of I, or personality. The I idea arises to an embodied ego and should be related to a body or organism. Has it a location in the body, special relation to any particular spot, as speech or amativeness in the brain? Similarly, has I got any center in the brain, blood, or viscera? Thought life is seen to center around the brain and the spinal cord, which in turn are fed by the blood circulating in them, carrying food and air duly mixed up, which are transformed into nerve matter. Thus, vegetative life, including circulation, respiration, alimentation, etc., or vital force, is said to be or reside in the core or essence of an organism. Thus, the mind may be regarded as the manifestation of vital force, which again may be conceived as residing in the heart. Devotee, now for the art of eliminating the mind and developing intuition in its stead. Are they two distinct stages with a possible neutral ground which is neither mind nor intuition? Or does the absence of mental activity necessarily involve self-realization? Maharshi, to the Abhyasi practitioner, there are two distinctive stages. There is a neutral ground of sleep, coma, faint, insanity, etc., in which the mental operations either do not exist or consciousness of self does not prevail. Devotee, taking the first part first, how is the mind to be eliminated or relative consciousness transcended? Maharshi, the mind is by nature restless. Begin liberating it from its restlessness. Give it peace. Make it free from distractions. Train it to look inward. Make this a habit. This is done by ignoring the external world and removing the obstacles to peace of mind. Devotee, how is restlessness removed from the mind? Maharshi, external contacts, that is, contacts with objects other than itself, make the mind restless. Loss of interest in non-self, vairagya, is the first step. Then the habits of introspection and concentration follow. They are characterized by control of external senses, internal faculties, etc. Sama, Dhamma, etc. Ending in samadhi, undistracted mind. Talk number 27. Devotee, how are they practiced? Maharshi, an examination of the ephemeral nature of external phenomena leads to vairagya. Hence, inquiry, vichara, is the first and foremost step to be taken. When vichara continues automatically, it results in a contempt for wealth, fame, ease, pleasure, etc. The I thought becomes clearer for introspection. The source of I is the heart, the final goal. If, however, the aspirant is not temperamentally suited to vichara marga, to the introspective analytical method, he must develop bhakti, devotion to an ideal, maybe God, guru, humanity in general, ethical laws, or even the idea of beauty. When one of these takes possession of the individual, the other attachments grow weaker. That is, dispassion, vairagya, develops. Attachment for the ideal simultaneously grows and finally holds the field. This ekagrata concentration grows simultaneously and imperceptibly with or without visions and direct aids. In the absence of inquiry and devotion, the natural sedative pranayama, breath regulation, may be tried. This is known as yoga marga. If life is imperiled, the whole interest centers around the one point, the saving of life. If the breath is held, the mind cannot afford to and does not jump at its pets, external objects. Thus, there is rest for the mind so long as the breath is held. All attention being turned on the breath or its regulation, other interests are lost. Again, passions are attended with irregular breathing, whereas calm and happiness are attended with slow and regular breathing. Paroxysm of joy is, in fact, as painful as the one of pain, and both are accompanied by ruffled breaths. Real peace is happiness. Pleasures do not form happiness. The mind improves by practice and becomes finer, just as the razor's edge is sharpened by stropping. The mind is then better able to tackle internal or external problems. If an aspirant be unsuited temperamentally for the first two methods and circumstantially on account of age for the third method, that person must try the karma marga, doing good deeds, for example, social service. Their nobler instincts become more evident, and he derives impersonal pleasure. His smaller self is less assertive and has a chance of expanding on its good side. The person becomes duly equipped for one of the three aforesaid paths. His intuition may also develop directly by this single method. Devotee. Can a line of thought or a series of questions induce self-hypnotism? Should it not be reduced to a single point, analyzing the unanalyzable, elementary, and vaguely perceived and elusive I? Maharshi. Yes, it is really like gazing into vacancy, or a dazzling crystal, or light. Devotee. Can the mind be fixed to that point? How? Maharshi, if the mind is distracted, ask the question promptly, to whom do these distracting thoughts arise? That takes you back to the I point promptly. Devotee, how long can the mind stay or be kept in the heart? Maharshi, the period extends by practice. Devotee, what happens at the end of the period? Maharshi, the mind returns to its present normal state. Unity in the heart is replaced by variety of phenomena perceived. This is called the outgoing mind. The heart-going mind is called the resting mind. Devotee, is all this process merely intellectual, or does it exhibit feeling predominantly? Maharshi, the latter. Devotee, how do all thoughts cease when the mind is in the heart? Maharshi, by force of will, with strong faith in the truth of the Master's teaching to that effect. Devotee, what is the good of this process? Maharshi, conquest of the will, development of concentration. B, conquest of passions, development of dispassion. And C, increased practice of virtue, samatva, equality to all. Devotee, why should one adopt the self-hypnotization by thinking on the unthinkable point? Why not adopt another method like gazing into light, holding the breath, hearing music, hearing internal sounds, repetition of the sacred syllables, or other mantras? Maharshi, light gazing stupefies the mind and produces catalepsy of the will for the time being, yet secures no permanent benefit. Breath control benumbs the will for the time being only. Sound hearing produces similar results, unless the mantra is sacred and secures the help of a higher power to purify and raise the thoughts.